the red.
We are in the red, and we have... I'm actually really nervous because I've never done a three-input session before.
Hey, it's going to work out.
We got to get the practice in, though, right?
Right. We needed to practice this for Delta Fan Fest. We have some new equipment, and we've got... It took us like an hour to get everything connected like we wanted to get it, finally. So we're up, we're rolling. We have an extra person with us, our own Kela.
Hey.
Woo!
And we're gonna talk about some cool stuff here in a minute. Because I love editing. God, editing this is going to be even harder because I'm going to have to click all three tracks and then split them. But anyway... We did a walkthrough yesterday.
Oh, man. See, I answered you before you. Or I asked you before you answered.
Right, you just caused me more editing nightmares.
Shut up.
Me and Germ did a walkthrough at the Athens Jailhouse yesterday just to kind of familiarize ourselves with the. Of course, you've been in there several times.
Maybe five in my entire life.
Kind of familiarize ourselves, kind of feel it out, scope it out. We were up that way anyhow. We were already up that way, so we decided to go check it, and we recorded that, so we're going to play that here in just a minute. But I got to tell you, before we get to that, when I woke up this morning, it felt like my tongue was like shedding skin.
My gums feel like that.
And it's all because of this insanely... I think you have to eat the hot sauce that we ate last night on those wings... You got to be a little bit of a masochist. Yeah. Am I saying that right?
Or stupid.
Masochist.
Is that what I said?
I don't know.
You got to be a little bit disturbed to put yourself through what we put ourselves through last night. And I mean, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I did eat the blazing wings at Buffalo Wild Wings. So I thought, you know, I've got a belt. Like if they gave out championships for hot saucery.
I ate the hot wings at Sonic.
Okay, you ate chicken at Sonic. That's what you ate. But Anthony cleaned out his hot sauce collection and brought all of it over here. And there's some really good hot sauce in there, but there are these two bottles in particular. It's called Dave's Gourmet. One of them is called Temporary Insanity, and the other one's called Ultimate Insanity. And you eat the Temporary Insanity, you're like, oh my God, that is so freaking hot. That's got to be the hottest thing. That's got to be the hottest one. But then you go to the Ultimate Insanity, and you're like, wow.
You know, the difference between them is the Ultimate Insanity. It doesn't sneak up on you. I mean, it's there from the get-go.
Well, you realize this is the same guy and the same company that originally come out with Dave's Insanity sauce.
Yeah.
So, and this is even hotter than what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ultimate Insanity is...
At the time, it was the hottest sauce on the market. Of course, we're talking years ago.
Me and Mark both thought we were going to die.
Yeah, what I did is I cooked wings on the grill, and then I put my normal, start calling that? Old Crow sauce?
Yeah, Old Crow sauce.
Because I had some bourbon, some cheap bourbon in here, and I mixed it with barbecue sauce and some regular, like, Tabasco, and I whipped me up a mixture, and I put some barbecue, just regular barbecue in there, too. And I was coating them with a little brush, and I would turn them and brush them. Like you would do when you're grilling wings.
Right.
But then when I took those up, I left three of them on there. And I was like, I'm going to hook these up with the hotness. Then we're going to dare each other to eat them. And it went about like you would expect. I mean...
It was bad.
It was really bad. And I washed my hands three times. And my eyes started itching a little while later. And I knew, even though I'd washed my hands three times, but I mean, what are you going to do? Your eye itches. You've got to rub it. And I tried to rub it, like, indirectly, like with the side of my hand or something.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I was temporarily blind. We were watching The Force Awakens, and I still had, like, tears coming down my face. Not because of Han Solo this time. Not this time.
I literally had a paper towel just draped down in front of my mouth because I could do nothing but drool. Because it was so hot, I could not swallow anything else at that point. I had to like let my mouth cool down before I could eat another bite of anything, period.
Yeah, you were incapable
I was incapacitated.
Yeah, you couldn't do English.
No, it was horrible.
I gotta say, I found it very, very amusing.
Yeah, you were just sitting over there laughing at us and shaking your head like, you idiots.
But I have a feeling we'll probably do it again.
Right. Maybe tonight, who knows? Well, we're cooking hamburgers tonight, so.
I don't want that in my hamburgers. That's sneak up.
No.
Yep. A little in the middle of one of the hamburgers, and then we'll just play like Russian roulette with it, see who gets it.
Burger roulette.
Burger roulette.
You know, I'm actually going to, it's one of my many hobbies that I neglect, but I'm going to make my own hot sauce one day, and I've got a Tabasco pepper plant out there that I've been picking peppers off over the last couple of years.
But isn't that just pepper sauce?
No, Tabasco sauce.
Tabasco. Oh, okay.
But I'm going to use more than just those peppers. What I'm going to make is, like, I'm probably going to make two different kinds. I'm going to do, like, a blended one, and then I'm going to actually make my own version of Tabasco sauce. And it's really interesting how they make Tabasco sauce. I watched a video on this. They grow all the peppers, just like those out there. They have these huge, massive fields out on an island called Avery Island in Louisiana.
I thought it was Tabasco Island. Or is that just the nickname?
That's probably, yeah, that's the nickname. But it's actually Avery Island. And the way they do it is the CEO of the company walks around with this huge bundle of strings in his arm. And when he finds, like, one of the plants that he wants them to pick from, he'll lay the string over it. And so he just walks through there laying, like, yeah, I like that one. He lays the string, I like that one. And then the pickers come through. And they have this little rod, this little red plastic rod, and they use it to match the color. If the pepper's the same color, that little stick, then they pick it.
So it's a pepper gauge.
Yeah, it's like bright red, because they say when they're bright red, and you can tell when you pick them, because when they're bright red, they turn loose really easy. Like, you can just barely pull on them. If they're not done yet, then they'll be like orange or not quite as red, and they're harder to pull. So you know it's not ready to, because they basically like turn themselves loose when they get really ripe. So they pick all the peppers, they take them. Peter Popper's out there. I think he picks a whole peck of those pickled peppers, but I'm not sure how many pickled peppers Peter Popper picked. anyway, they grind them all up and they put them in these big wooden barrels, and they add some salt when they grind them. I think that's all they add on that. The first step, they seal the barrel shut and they put this thick layer of salt, and they let the barrel sit for 3 years, or it said up to 3 years. And what happens is it kind of ferments, and it comes up through the salt, and the salt like starts cracking. It like unleash the Kraken. The salt starts, it forms like a crust, and they knock all that off and they open the barrel up, and then they mix it with vinegar. And that's pretty much it. It's done. Pretty simple.
That doesn't seem too simple. Up to 3 years. That's a lot of salt.
That's a long time to wait for some good eating, too.
Well, when I go to make mine, there's a way you can cheat. Is you can mix it with sherry. Like the actual sherry
get
wine.
Get drunk.
Well, I mean, it ferments when it sits there. It's not like you could get drunk off of it or anything. I mean, nobody would sit and drink a whole bottle of Tabasco sauce. And even if you did, there's not enough alcohol in one bottle. Like, it's very low fermentation, but because sherry is aged in barrels as well, you kind of get the fermentation from the sherry and the oak, I guess, the barrel flavor.
Flavoring.
Yeah, and you put a little bit of that in there, and you can kind of cheat on how long you let it sit. But anyway, if nobody gives a shit about peppers, they were just really bored for like 10 minutes. But if you like peppers... Hey, who knows? I may make a batch of Kill Pop Culture hot sauce, and that'll be what gets this podcast over finally.
Or Kill Pop Culture Tabasco sauce.
Yeah. I don't know if we could legally call it Tabasco sauce, even though those are Tabasco peppers.
Well, I think they trademarked that name, so.
Probably so. I'm probably going to get sued just for saying that. So anyway, that was my little spiel about what we did last night, injuring ourselves. Burning our mouths out with hot sauce. So let's talk about the Athens Jailhouse.
What do you want to know?
Well, one of the reasons we have Kelly on the show tonight, not just because he was sitting in the room looking all pretty.
Well, I sit in this room a lot looking all pretty.
But we also, why did you just grab my phone?
Because I'm pulling up that picture you took of the sign because you're going to recant what you said about the county seat.
Oh, yeah. I was way off. I was off by like 100 years. You know those... What do they call those signs? The historic markers?
It's just historical landmark signs.
Yeah, landmark signs. There's one in front of Athens Jailhouse, and it...
All right, then.
Knock on wood.
It says northeast 4 miles from date of micro corporation. I don't know.
Do you need me to read that?
Well, you can't. It's not the first line's not really legible. It's not eligible. But it says in 1830 to 1836, it was the Monroe County seat, according to the sign. And what did I say on the last podcast? Like
1930.
Like 1930. So, yeah. But it was the county seat more than once. Like, they changed it 2 or 3 times, and then they finally moved it to Aberdeen for good.
Do you know why that is? The same reason that Houston and Oklahoma swap back and forth, being county seats, is because of the river.
Yeah, the waterway coming.
And the railroad. The railroad.
Yeah, the railroad and the waterway.
Well, the river's the big thing because back in those days, the bridges wasn't as high as they are now. So anytime there was a heavy rain, especially around voting season or something like that, if you couldn't get to your county seat, then your part of town was pretty much screwed.
That makes sense.
That's the reason Houston and Oklahoma in Chickasaw County are both county seats.
Right.
Or it was up until...
He does that a lot.
Yeah, I noticed that. At least Mark, it didn't hit me in the mouth.
Yeah, he knocks me out. Like, I fall out on the floor half the time. Yeah, but Mark just walked by Kella's microphone and knocked
just
it down.
Completely just took it away from me.
Yeah, he does that a lot.
But yeah, that's just a little pop culture, I guess, for you, for rural counties.
Right. I like that word, rural.
Rural. Rural.
Rural.
Rural.
But... We walked out to, we walked out after we got out of the truck, after we drove out to the Athens Jail out there. And Monroe County Historical Society does have, you know, the reins over it and everything. It's pretty well community upkept. I mean, the community's proud of that building. I mean, they each take turns going out there, mowing the yard.
They upkeep the cemetery real well, too.
Right. Which we weren't but just a few miles from the historical beach cemetery.
Yeah.
Beach Road.
Beach Roads.
We'll get it right in a minute. Beach Road Cemetery. But it was a real treat going in there with Mark yesterday because... I mean, he had been there before. You'd never actually been inside, you said, right?
No, not really. Right. I've been to it, but I've never walked around inside.
Right. I mean, they got a little registry thing where they want guests to sign, you know, where they've been, you know.
You can make donations, too. I think there's a donation box there.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're into the historical side of anything like that, it's well worth going out there and looking up.
Or maybe that's a suggestion box, but I doubt they would mind if you put money in there. Here's a suggestion.
That would be
$20.
A good suggestion for them.
No, what I wanted to do was, before we play this little segment, we have a couple of ghost stories we have a couple of Athens Jailhouse-themed ghost stories. I know you have one, Kelly has one, and I have an indirect one. It didn't happen to me. But I know of a paranormal-ish encounter there. So
I think we've all heard a couple different paranormal-ish encounters from out there. But
well, go ahead and tell us about your little ordeal there, Kella.
Well, it's short and sweet. Me and two buddies, JR and Ray, we's riding around.
And when you say Ray, you're talking about our own Ray Van Dusen from the Monroe Journal.
Our own alumni, Ray Van Dusen.
Kill Pop Culture alumni. He's been on our show. He's been on our show a couple of times.
We used to ride around a lot. We're talking 10, 15 years ago. And they took me out to the Athens Jailhouse and was telling me about how haunted it was.
Now, is this before they remodeled it? Did it still have like
this? Was way before they remodeled it.
So it was still like almost like in ruins. Like it was in pretty bad shape back
then.
Pretty bad
shape, yeah.
What would you say that was about? Like maybe 10 years ago?
No. Me and you have known each other for 15 plus years. And this was before that.
Okay.
But we was out there, and we always, us three was always doing our spook hunting stuff, especially around October. But we pull up out there, and we get out. You couldn't get in because they had the door locked. So instead, we just walk around the building, and we're sitting back at the truck. And all of a sudden, JR yells, "Oh my God, get in the truck!" So we all jump back in the truck, and as we look up, the corner where we just come around, just this white apparition walked from the corner of the jailhouse to the patch of trees where there's a house over there now, and just disappeared.
When you say apparition, is that how you pronounced it?
Apparition.
What do you mean apparition? Like,
it was
specifically
a white ghostly figure.
I mean,
it
could
was,
was it just a like a mass, or was it human form?
No, it was. It didn't really have a shape. It was almost like a mist,
like a cloudy looking wispy.
Yeah.
Did it have a face, or was it too far away to tell?
Well, really too far away, but no, it wasn't. There was no definite definition to it, other than it went from right where we were at the corner, because we had just walked back from the corner, because you know we walked all the way around it. And we had turned around. That's when he said that. We jumped back in the truck. And you seen it walk from that corner. Well, walk. It floated from that corner to this patch of trees off on the left. And then just disappeared.
So all three of you guys saw the same thing?
Yes.
You collaborated and...
Look, I can, yes. I can vouch for this because I've heard Ray tell me this same story. Ray can tell you the same story that he just told you.
And I could.
Wait, was it
get
late at night? I mean, is there any chance this could have been like a
swamp gas?
Could it just been like a roaming mass of fog? I mean, we live in the south. The fog is pretty dense, or maybe just a plume of smoke or something.
Well, a plume of smoke would indicate a fire, and there's no lights around. And you do do have that light above the door.
I get it. You vape, bro.
No. It technically was as thick as somebody out there vaping, but this was long before that got started.
Which brings up a good point. That's why, like, if you do an outdoor investigation, like with my paranormal team and stuff, if you're a smoker, do not smoke during the investigation because you don't want to try to get a photo and then there'll be, like, this mist and it wind up being cigarette smoke.
Yep, the cigarette smoke, right. Splume, yeah.
Well, last year was the first time I had ever been on a... Well, technically, Jeff Ugly Shoes took me on a ghost hunt.
Yeah, you went on that.
Yeah, the Princess Theater.
Yeah.
Me and Kelly have done that a couple times.
That was at like 4 in the morning after a show, and we were really intoxicated, so I don't remember much about that. But.
Well, we didn't see nothing except we froze our tails off because it was like 30 degrees in the Princess.
But last year was my first like official, you know, ghost hunting expeditions that I've been on, and I like how y'all do it. If somebody accidentally bumps into something or makes a noise, they immediately yell, "That was me."
Yeah, you have to call it on it because...
Because you don't want to be listening to the EVP and go, "Ooh, did you hear that?"
Right, and then you have to try to dissect every bit of that crap.
Yeah. So if somebody ate Mexican and then went on a ghost hunt, you would have to own up to your noisy...
Yeah, your noisy bum.
Your noisy bum. All right, so go ahead and tell your ghost story about Athens Jailhouse.
Jerm?
Mine, actually, it probably happened, let's see, I was about 16 or 17 when we went out there. I mean, this is back before everybody really, I hate to say gave a crap, used that terminology, but I mean, it kind of was.
We sound like such rednecks on here. Gave a crap.
Gave a crap. But anyway, the jailhouse at that point. There
I should
been,
say was really interested in restoring the jailhouse.
Well, I'm just going to say gave a crap because that is.
Well, he is redneck.
Yeah, I'm redneck. But it was before then, and the jailhouse had been, you know, it had gone through a lot of vandalism and stuff over the years, too. We had got out there one night. It was me and about three or four other buddies. I mean, and this is, like, even before I partaked in the alcohol like I do now. You know, I drink every once in a while, but we got out. We went in. I mean, because you could go in the door. And, I mean, still to this day, I'm the same way. You saw it yesterday when we went out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about behind that stairway that I just do not dig. There's just a heavy feeling for me, you know, going right there. Every other room in the place is fine to me. But, like, when we went outside, you could hear talking, but this is even before there were houses across the road. Like, there were no houses there anymore. But it realistically sounded to me and a couple of my other buddies that sound was coming from out that way. It wasn't coming from inside the jailhouse per se.
To the back and to the left?
Now, if you go out the front door, it would be straight to your left, across the road.
Okay, across the road,
right,
yeah.
That little clearing, because that's the area out there. But, I mean, even to this day, there's something about, I don't know if it's on the stairs or if it's behind the stairs, because, I mean, me and Jeremy went out there, Jeremy Thorne from my paranormal team, we went out there, I guess it was a year, maybe 2 years ago, and we were going through, snapping pictures, you know, taking a day of it, just going different places. We'd been out to cemeteries out in Aberdeen, and Jeremy was coming down the stairs, and literally, he's holding on to the rail and everything. Literally, his body looks like it just about bows in half, like something had kicked him in his lower back, and he fell down the rest of the stairs. I mean, there was nothing on the stairs to cause him to fall. I was watching him. His footing was perfect. You know what I mean? As perfect as could be. I mean, going down steps. I mean, you're going to be careful. He wasn't trying to race down them or anything like that. Jeremy's not a clumsy kind of person. But he literally, from halfway up that flight of stairs, slid on his ass all the way down to the bottom of the stairs.
What did he feel like? Did he feel something?
He felt like something had basically, like I said, kicked him or shoved him from about waistline down those stairs. Because, I mean, he buckled nearly in half.
So it was a push.
Yeah.
So there wouldn't have been, like, visible, like, bruises or anything.
Oh,
it was
no,
shove.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like somebody, like, literally had, like, curb stomped him or anything like that. But he was pretty freaked out about it. And, I mean, rightfully so, I was too, but, I mean, I was more for the fact that I thought he'd gonna hurt.
Yeah.
But when we were leaving out the door, you know, I mean, we close the door, the door closes, and it's, you know, just a little, there's no latch on it, it just makes the bumping into the other door because it's a double door. Makes the noise like, boom, it touched, whatever, all right, we're getting ready to leave. We're probably 10 steps away from the front door, and it sounds like the door slams. And I'm like, yeah, like that noise, whatever that was. But I'm like kind of frozen in my tracks.
How long ago was this again?
Maybe 2 years ago, years ago.
Did y'all was that before y'all had like the little meters and all the stuff that reads?
No, we had that stuff, but at that point we were just out taking photos. We had our digital cameras and stuff like
y'all
that.
Y'all basically doing a walkthrough.
Yeah, yeah, more or less. I mean, we were just going through all these historical places around town. Well, Aberdeen, Athens, Becker area, which, I mean, there really wasn't nothing that showed up on any of the photos. But there were a couple of questionable EVPs. But I tried to dissect them, but I never could actually distinguish whether it was one of our teammates or not, which is why we do, like you said earlier, why we do what we do now. Because I'm the only one who goes through the EVPs and dissects them down like that. I mean, that's basically been my job. And I got really, really animate about that. I mean, it's so hard to distinguish that stuff, and like that's why I don't like doing outdoor investigation kind of places. Like, if we do the Athens Jailhouse going across the road trying to find a cemetery, it's going to be
one or two people.
Yeah, well, it's going to be hard to do that with an EVP recorder session because you've got so much ambient noise from just being outside anyway.
That sound travels, especially people's voices.
Right, and the Athens Jailhouse is a tiny place anyway, so if we do an
investigation. It's really not a very, it's not a big building. But the ceilings are really high.
You know what?
As they were back then.
You verified for me, though, yesterday, too, it's like.
There's a bat cave.
Well, no. You verified that, but
I didn't hear about this.
All right, no.
You'll see it when you. Well, you've been there, but the.
I've never been inside.
The rooms downstairs
are the same size.
Well, the whole building is a like a. It's not a square, more like a rectangle. It's the bottom floor and the top floor are the same size from the outside, but on the inside,
hallway and everything.
The rooms upstairs seem a lot bigger than the rooms downstairs. I guess it's an optical illusion or something, but I'm hoping for a hidden secret room.
Yeah,
like I've never been inside.
Look, the lights.
I've only been there twice, and the one time was.
Tell him about the lights, what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, it's got those old.
Lantern-style lights.
Yeah, like those. I forget what they're called. But like you would see in the movies where they would grab one and pull it, and it would be a lever, and it would cause a wall to move.
I told him, I was like,
that's what I was kind of hoping for.
Because he was talking about that, and I was like, dude, if you pull that lever, I bet that chimney will open.
But, you know, I was thinking about this, too. Talking about how old it is. They said that somebody moved into and lived in the jailhouse after it was a jailhouse. And I was like, well, how would you live there? There's no bathroom. But it just dawned on me back then they had outhouses. Right. There would be no bathroom in your house.
Well, I mean, they had outhouses.
Like up until late 1900s.
Well, I mean, my mom was born in like 1951. And up until like 1960s, they had an outhouse.
So. Yeah, my uncle had one for a long time.
Yeah, a lot of those old houses, when you go into the bathroom, you notice the bathroom is an add-on. It's an addition to the house, and that's because they got plumbing and made a bathroom onto the house.
Exactly.
But yeah, is that...
That's my story, yeah.
Okay, I didn't want to like start on mine for you.
It's your turn.
My story was told to me by a good friend of ours, the late, great Barry Sims, actually. He was telling me, we were talking about spooky stuff around here one night years ago, and he told me, and this was before I was even running around with those guys, it was Barry and Boozer. They just call him Boozer. And I think he said...
Coley with them?
I don't remember all the people he named off. But I know Charlotte was there, and I think he said Flip was there, but I can't remember. Josh Pickle, I think, was there.
Yeah.
If I remember him telling the story, naming off all the people. But he said they went in the jailhouse and went upstairs. And this was back before it was remodeled and all that. This is when it was still in almost ruins.
Yeah.
They went upstairs, and there's evidently an access for like an attic up there, like a place in there where you can open up. And he did say there was a ladder at that time. I didn't see a ladder in there when we went the other day, but again, this was before
you can tell they boarded the roof up since then.
Yeah, they've completely redone that whole interior.
Well, there might be a reason for that.
But he said there was a ladder and there was a little, you know, the little access, not the big ones that fold down, but you just lift it up and move it over. Like in my old house had one.
We kind of call them a crawl space.
Yeah, it's just big enough for somebody to fit through. It's not like... the one where the stairs fold down like it's in my garage for my attic access.
Yeah.
But he said Boozer climbed to the ladder and moved the panel over and was crawling up into the attic. And I guess, I don't know if he had a flashlight or what, if he was going to look up there or what, but something grabbed a hold of him. And he started hollering, and they thought he was just being silly. Like, you know, quit messing around, you know.
Right.
He's like, someone's got me. And they're like, yeah. Well, somebody grabbed his legs and they were pulling on him, and they weren't even, like, they were pulling on him so hard they weren't even hanging onto the ladder anymore. Like, they were just dangling there from the his weight and the other person's weight. And I asked him, I was like, well, do you think maybe he just grabbed a hold of a beam or was just holding on and still, like, you know, being silly? He's like, well, he's really, really strong because he would have been holding his own weight, all the weight of the person. Now, I think he said it was Flip. I can't remember. The weight of the person that was pulling, and then other people started grabbing too.
Right.
When they started seeing that it wasn't, they started thinking maybe this wasn't him just being silly, that something real is happening here. Other people started, you know, joining in and trying to help pull him down. But they said that it took a lot of people to pull him loose from whatever had a hold of him up in the attic. And they thought that was pretty freaky.
I heard a similar story to that about the attic crawl space area from one of the guys that we used to hang out with in Aberdeen. But it wasn't a push-up and move-over door. It was like a door on hinges.
Yeah.
You push it up, and then as they were crawling up, something slammed the door on his hands.
Ouch.
And they said it felt like somebody was standing on it because the guys that come up behind him could not push it up.
It's crazy how that kind of stuff actually...
We might need to take a ladder with us when we go, gentlemen.
Well, I mean, like you said, it's trying to look up and see. They've redone that place since then. And
yeah, that access may not even be there.
Yeah,
I
mean, if you look up at the
pitched roof. I mean, there is space up there.
But there may be a reason why they closed it off the way they did.
I'm actually going to put the pictures we took on our Facebook page. And probably for this show, I'm going to do you select, you know, you always have a picture that goes along with the show, and I always do the K-pop culture logo.
Yeah.
I'll actually put a picture of the jailhouse on this episode so everybody can see it.
We might be able to find some original pictures, too, if we dig deep enough.
Yeah, I found one a long time ago of the outside, a black and white picture before it was remodeled. But I cannot find it. I'd love to see some pictures of the inside of it before they, like, when it was actually still a jail.
We'll see if we can't.
But if it was in the 1800s, I mean, it's not like they really had a lot of cameras laying around back then.
Yeah.
It was those kind that you load with
iron plates.
Yeah.
It was, what'd you say yesterday? Gunpowder.
Yeah, they pack them with gunpowder and poof.
Well, hey, we need to take a station break and,
we're gonna take a pause for the calls, hear a word from our sponsors, and then the next thing you'll hear will be our little walkthrough that we did.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need. And they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out.
I'm recording this. This will be like the Blair Witch Project. They'll find my phone like 5 years from now. Oh my God. They'll find my phone 5 years from now and they'll make a scary podcast out of it. Are you going to sign the registry?
Yeah.
Look, somebody signed it all big.
See, already did.
I'm not going to sign it in case somebody comes in here and does something bad. They'll blame me. I got to admit, it's nice walking into a jail without handcuffs on. Right. I doubt they had handcuffs back then. They would hogtie their perpetrators. Is that a bell?
Is that a what?
Have you got a flashlight?
Yeah, I wouldn't turn around.
They got power in here. There's like.
Look, it's dark. Come on.
I just don't like how narrow these stairs are. We'll need some paranormal lube to get us out of here. Do you have a flashlight? I can't see. I don't want to trip. So if you walked out that door, you would fall.
Yeah, and die. All right, look. Same setup as downstairs. Look in those rooms and see how much bigger they look up here.
Yeah, it's like bigger up here than...
But it's the same exact size as down there.
You know, I was going to say I could tell this place is haunted because I'm having trouble breathing, but I just realized I walked up some stairs. So, like, where were the jail cells at?
Basically, I think it was partitioned off more than anything. Now, go behind the stairs. I don't know. I don't like that door right there.
You don't like the door? Dude, there's a trap door right here.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like a basement. Lift that up. Oh, shit.
Just dirt.
I wonder why that's like that. I guess it's an access panel for maintenance or something.
Probably. Yeah, so let me stick your head in there.
Stick my head in there?
Yeah, you'll come out with it.
Oh, there's like a...
See, I don't like it in there. Something behind those stairs. I ain't saying something happened, but... I think something might have happened.
You're right, though. What's weird is, like, down here... But the bottom floor, the rooms are small, but upstairs the rooms are big. But from the outside... The building is the same size. I'm thinking trapdoor conspiracy. Oh, dude, this has those old-timey. Look here, the old-timey light fixtures.
Yeah.
I bet if we pull one of them, it'll be a lever, and then that'll open up to the bat cave. Yeah, you could tell how old this building is because it's settled right there, and the wall is cracked.
Yeah.
Well, there's not a whole lot to it. It's not just a huge building.
Can you hear how much it echoes and stuff?
Yeah.
That's what would make it so hard to be able to do.
Why did they do windows like that back then, like all recessed?
Originally, this started out as a house.
No, it was a jail, and then it was a house.
I thought it was a house, and then it
did. It was jail, and then it was a house later. All right, well, we just did a walk through the Athens jailhouse. Were those lights already on when we got here?
Yeah.
Whoa, buddy. You gotta push me out, ghost.
Look, when we were in here one time before, Jeremy was walking down the stairs, and he was about halfway down them, and I swear, I was standing at the bottom of the stairs, and it looked like something booted him straight in his lower back, because he went, shit, and then fell down the rest of the stairs.
Well, that's one of those old-timey, like... It's one of those old-timey, huge, heavy doors, and it, like, pushes you out when you walk out.
Yeah.
So they said the hanging tree was right across the road. I'm going to say it was probably about right there. Cause
they say that the old cemetery, I don't know if it's the... I don't know if it's the, if it was slave cemetery, or if it was convict cemetery, or, you know, like, where they buried you after... You were home, or what the deal is, but they said that it was right back here.
What the hell? It sounded like a machine gun. Uh-oh.
Got the musket going off or some shit.
I'm still recording, by the way.
I got bit by an ant on my toe.
You know, the reason that they do the ceilings are so high has to do with the heat.
Yeah.
So, We just did a walk through the Athens jailhouse.
What'd you think?
It's a lot smaller. You can go ahead and take a left here.
Yeah.
It's a lot smaller than I expected it to be. It is definitely historic. It's prehistoric.
Yeah.
It came out, it was built before history. It's cool though. I mean, if you're into like history and stuff like that, I didn't see any ghosts, but.
Didn't smell anything. Dead. So, that's a good sign too that there's no animals in there. That was my biggest thing when me and Anthony went in there, like last week, I think it was. Going in there, I was just kind of like tiptoeing through at first because you don't never know if a raccoon or something's in there. I don't feel like getting ravaged by.
Like Peter Griffin?
Yeah.
Jump on your face. Oh God, oh God.
Get off, get off.
Because I can see Anthony just taking pictures of this whole thing happening.
Yeah, I would take pictures rather than help you if that happened.
Yeah, that's the way people are these days. If I got jumped, you'd get your phone out.
I would podcast it.
Exactly.
And I would describe to everybody what was going on. If we go back the way that I want to, we go by like this old plantation home. That's the thing about Athens. It's like when you come to this area, this town, is it even big enough to be called a town anymore?
No.
Community.
It's a community.
Athens community. When you come to this community, it's like, it's literally like going back in time.
Right. Yeah, they do have a volunteer fire department, though, so they are up to date.
Imagine how long it would take them to get to your house, though, if it was on fire.
Good God. Athens is still a really big community, too, though.
It's real spread out.
Oh, yeah.
Is it illegal to podcast while you're driving? I haven't opened a beer yet. Just kidding, kids. I thought Athens Jailhouse was closer than it, to the marina than that, but I was like, hey, while we're out here, you want to go by Athens Jailhouse and do a walkthrough? So that's where we're coming back from, is the Athens Jailhouse walkthrough. We will come back in a much more official capacity when we do during the Halloween thing. One thing I didn't mention on the last podcast is that Dr. Alan Brown's book, the one he did about the Golden Triangle, I think it's called Ghosts of the Golden Triangle, I think is the title. It comes out September the 26th, and he is sending us a copy. I asked him to sign a copy for us to keep, but we're also going to be giving a copy of it away on the air. And we're going to tell you how you can win a copy of... Do I go right or stay straight?
Stay straight.
Did you get that creepy feeling this time under the stairs as you did last time?
I didn't go under the stairs.
No.
I'm not going under the stairs.
Where is it? It's not like a big room.
Jacob's ladder is up there.
All right, we're just going to skate right past that. Yeah, I think this is the road that old plantation house is on. And I mean, dude, this house has got to be... I bet they've done movies there. Because it looks just like...
Something from a Civil War era
movie. I mean, it's the...
Epitome.
Yeah, it's exactly like what you see in the movies. It's a big white house sitting way back with fields around it.
Yeah, we didn't see that.
Well, we didn't come this way.
Where else South Florida came out?
Damn it. Just try to picture it in your mind.
I take a ride. Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more.
Advertise with us at Kill Punk
Just tell
Culture.
Us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
Delta Fan Fest is like 2 weeks away, September 17th and 18th at the Lander Center in South Haven, Mississippi.
I'm excited.
Me too. Go to deltafanfest.com, and if you order your tickets early, you get like a big discount. The Saturday pass is $20, Sunday's $15, but if you pre-order like a two-day registration, it's $25. So you save like $116.
That, 25 cents.
I think I did my math right. I may have been a little off. But yeah, we're looking forward to it, man. We got all our equipment, I think, sorted out. I think we're good now. We've got our agenda, our list. We're going to be talking to a lot of people, maybe doing a lot of interviews, passing out flyers and stickers and such. So big things happening in like 2 weeks.
Does that say John Schneider's going to be there?
Yeah, let me just click on. I was really sad to find out that Ernie Hudson had to cancel.
Oh, man.
Maybe, like, hopefully he had to cancel because he's making a new Ghostbusters movie.
I doubt it.
Dean Cain, a.k.a. Hey. Superman, is going to be there. John Schneider.
Hey, that's Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard, yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Katrina Law from Spartacus and Arrow. She's Tila Ghul on Arrow.
Yeah.
There's going to be, you know, the Honest Trailers on YouTube? It's like a channel that gets a lot of hits.
Yeah.
That guy's going to be there. Like two or three people from The Walking Dead. Dr. Osborne. Or is it Osborne? And you got like three comic book writers. They're going to be there in a bunch of cosplay groups. It's going to be insane. It's going to be really cool.
I'm like you. I do hate that Ernie Hudson isn't going to be there, but there's still going to be plenty of phenomenal talent that's going to be there. So if you're around the area, check it out.
Plenty of stuff to do. All right. Well, this was another short little podcast. A tawny little fellow.
Well, you said it was going to be a mini cast.
It was originally going to be a minicast, but we actually turned it like into a full show, almost.
Almost. So it's like a three-quarter.
It's
cast.
A teenager.
Yeah.
It's not a baby show.
It's not
show.
A wee baby.
It's not. There you go.
It's not a wee baby.
It's more like an adolescent. It's not a one-hour show.
But it's not a 20-minute show either. Say something.
I'm giving up on you.
I will slap the butter off of your ears. Because that's where Mark keeps his butter.
Say something. I'm giving up on you.
You cannot edit or cut that. That has to stay in the podcast. Keep it.
By the way, this is Labor Day weekend. I don't know why here lately I found it necessary to give people the date and time.
Because time travel. You know what it is. You've hung around me long enough to where you're starting to give out specifics to...
Oddly specific.
To them. You won't give me specifics for crap. But, you know, like, I asked Mark, I was like, well, you know, what's up? What time we get together? I can't tell you that. Because I don't know.
Well, every time I try to make plans, they get totally screwed.
I'm,
so
I'm kind of
I learned
way.
To kind of have a basic idea of what we're going to do, but then just kind of go with it. And you're so anal that you got to be like, well, are we meeting at 12 or 12:02? Because I need to know everything in advance for no reason at all.
There's a lot of crap that could happen between 12 and 12:02, though.
So as we record this, this is Monday, Labor Day, September the 5th.
At? 1049er.
Don't forget. Have we announced this yet?
Yeah. Well,
I don't think we have on the show.
Not tonight's show, but we have before. We did last week. We mentioned
it. We don't think so.
We mentioned it.
We're going to be playing a gig, an actual show, Killjay, October the 29th at That So Sick Fest. It's a two-day festival, the 28th and 29th. We're playing the 29th at 9 o'clock. But don't come at 9 o'clock. Come when the doors open.
Come both days.
We're going to be talking a lot more about That So Sick Fest in the coming weeks, because it's going to be part of our Halloween week, Halloween month.
We'll get the whole lineup and everything as we go.
And we're going to have the promoter, Mr. Stephen Yates, on the show, and he's going to talk a lot about it. So go to the event page and say you're going, because you need to. On three, we're going to do Love You Bye.
One, two, three.
Start over. Are we going to say Love You Bye on three?
No, we're going to go
or
one,
two, Love You Bye. Because that would be one, two, three.
One, two, three.
So it'd be like on four.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, we do things in four times anyway, most of the time.
One, two.
Three. Love you, bye.